Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I am the host, Angela Butler. Tonight we have with us Mr. Elijah Ricky Jason. He is the executive producer and director of the film about Mr. James Byrd entitled Byrd. How are you doing tonight?
Well, Ms. Butler, I am blessed tonight, and I'm happy to be on your show so the world can understand what happened to Mr. James Byrd.
Yes, sir, and I hope you give everyone a better understanding of what Mr. James Byrd was about and why such a senseless killing took place in 1998. Mr. Jason, how did you first hear about James Byrd's murder?
Well, I was in Beaumont, Texas. I'm in Houston right now. But Beaumont, Texas is like 45 miles from Jasper. And a friend of mine had called me that worked at the news media and said, Ricky, there was a guy that was dragged in Jasper, Texas. And I went out there with my friend, and I was very, very, very disturbed. You know, the CIA had the roads blocked off and body parts. You can have it. It was a weird, weird, weird smell. And it really disturbed me. After being out there that day, the next day, I went back out there with my camera again. I met his mother, but she's passed away. I met his sisters. And a lot of people know me for working, doing my work with the civil rights activist Dick Gregory and Martin Luther King III. And As time passed by, I decided, you know, later on to do a documentary. And so I seen the one that Lou Gossett did with John Boyd, and it didn't really tell a true story of what happened to Mr. Byrd. It was really sugar-coated. And the Jasper, Texas documentary talks on the white side and the black side. So I went back to Jasper. I stayed in a hotel for a while in Jasper, because the people in Jasper are scared and afraid to speak. So the people start noticing me and getting used to me and comfortable with me. And I talked to Dick Gregory, and I said, well, there's two other documentaries out. He said, well, you need to focus on James Byrd and his life and who he was. You know, so I decided to go into his life, interview his classmates, his family, and his kids, and ask Mr. Dick Gregory, would he care the documentary, along with Martin King III, and Mr. Gregory said, yes, I will carry it on one condition, as long as you don't sugarcoat it. So I went into going into the script, and I never thought that James Byrd, he was a singer, he was a writer, he could play every instrument. The guy was just great. And, you know, and that night he happened to be walking home from a birthday party. And the guys drove up and picked him up, which I went visit with Sean Barry, and he told me what happened, one of the killers. So they picked him up, and they offered him a couple of beers, and they went riding. He knew Sean Barry. The other two guys, James didn't.
He knew Sean Barry, okay.
Yes, he didn't know the other two guys. So they went riding, and Sean said they stopped the truck for one while in a dark area. The truck had got stuck. So it was a little bitty truck. So they had to keep jumping up to get the truck unstuck. And Sean said they didn't do nothing then. They were just laughing and jamming Willie Nelson as they rode through Huff Creek Road. That's in Jasper. I mean, it's in the daytime. You can't even hardly see your hands in front of your face. It's called the jewel of the forest. So he said Bill King said stop the car. He said he stopped the car earlier. Bill King had to use the restroom. He said, when they stopped the truck, Bill King got in the back of the truck. He hit Byrd. Said Byrd fell down on the ground. Russell Brewer hit Byrd. Byrd was fighting. I said, Sean, why you didn't do anything? He said, because he was afraid. He didn't think they were going to do that. They spray painted his face black. They did a lot of things to him. He said, one while, Bill King started unhooking the chain off the truck. And he said, oh, my God, I know they're not finna do what I think they're finna do. He said he wrapped it around Bird's ankles. And Bird was kicking. The chains came back off of him. So Bill King rehooked him back on the truck. And he said he took off, and Bird was like a slow takeoff. And Bird was like running behind the truck. And he said he speeded up, and Bird fell back. And he said when he fell back, he was driving the truck. He started speeding fast from 5 to 10 miles, going up and up. And Bird started screaming and hollering, Mama, in the back of the truck, he said. And then when they hit the pavement, felt like the whole bumper came off the back of the truck. He said that's when Bill King looked back and said, oh, look at the nigga flying everywhere. So they got in front of a church called Martin Luther King in Jasper. And Bill King unhooked the other part because the other parts had torn when they hit the pavement in Jasper. And Russell Brewer just started kicking his other parts until he had broke his foot. That's why when the authorities found Russell Brewer, his foot was broke. He broke it on kicking James Bird's other part. So, you know, this started touching me. And as I started writing and getting into it, I got death threats, you know, to leave it alone, for it to go away. Don't do that story on Bird. And I continued to keep doing it. I prayed on it. I said, Lord, I hope I don't die before this documentary come out.
Okay. That's tragic. So you know that because the reason you're still alive is because God wanted you to complete this story on Mr. James, where God himself did.
Yes.
That's what I think.
Yeah, he had his hands on this because the many nights I've prayed, I've talked with Mr. Gregory, Dick Gregory, I talked with Martin III, and they said, Ricky, God chose you. You're the chosen one to do this, Hill, because if you don't do it, just like the other two documentaries he's done, it's going to be sugar-coated the same way. Because James Bird, he wasn't a bum. He lost one of his toes, and he was riding a bicycle when he was 12 years old. They called him Toe. His arm, he hurt his arm, and he was disabled. He was getting a check every month. But he was 49 years old. He still had dreams. There was a lot of people in the community, the black communities, like Jasper, Texas right now. The town is divided. They got a white sheriff. He runs the radio station, and he's also the mayor of Jasper. Right now, Jasper, Texas, have lawsuits filed against them from the black police chief. The black police chief that used to be for Jasper, the first time Jasper ever had a black police chief, Rodney Pearson. He was the one that discovered James Bird's body. You know, he never got the credit that he never wanted to get. He never asked for the credit, but he was the person that found the body. He wound up becoming a police chief, and right now they fired him. Jasper got lawsuits against the town. And when you go into Walmarts in Jasper, the whites are on one side of Walmart and the blacks are on the other side. And I also sent a letter to Bill King, offered to come see Bill King, but Bill King said he did not want to talk to me, a black person, that he's an unrepentant racist supremacist, and if he had to do it all over again to James Bird, he would do it. You know, so he has an execution date that's coming up, and we're continuing to push this documentary.
Now,
you know,
who's already
shown.
Been executed for the murder of Mr. James Bird? Who?
Russell Brewer had an execution date a year ago, and me and Dick Gregory and others went out there to Huntsville, Texas. We did a 24-hour prayer vision, slept outside the death chambers, you know, because the Bird kids are against the death penalty, James Bird kids. His son also went in with Martin King III to visit Sean Berry as well. And Sean Berry said he just was called up, but, you know, we never know. God knows what happened. And I just did this story because I figured this is part of our black history. You know, this man died worse than Jesus Christ. He was alive through most of the dragging. So you can imagine up the dirt road rubbing and trying. That's why when his elbows and his buttocks was was really burned to the bones real bad because he was trying to protect his body as he was twisting and turning on that hot street dirt road at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what we're trying to do, I'm trying to, you know, to keep his name alive. I'm happy, you know, to have the people, you know, supporting it. You know, this documentary, you know, it's on Amazon.com. It's called Byrd, B-Y-R-D, The Life and Tragic Death of James Byrd Jr. It's on Amazon.com. You can rent it. You can buy it. I mean, because this is a part of our black history. A lot of people didn't understand. A lot of people today, Jasper, Texas, right now,
I believe that people are in denial when it comes to Mr. James Byrd and lynchings and killings. They blame it all on the devil, which it is the devil's doing. But murder is murder, and this murder of Mr. James Byrd was senseless. It was uncalled for.
I mean,
all murders are really uncalled for, but to drag somebody, to tie somebody behind a truck and drag them is horrible, horrific. It wasn't necessary to kill him just because he was a black man.
And to kick his other body part, you know, after they did all that, until Russell Brewer broke his foot, he just kept kicking it, kicking it, kicking it. Y'all already tore him apart.
That,
you know,
kind of hatred for somebody just because their skin is darker than yours is sick and evil.
And when Russell Brewer was getting executed, they asked him if he had any words to say to the family. He said no. Russell Brewer even said that he would do it all again because it's what he stands for. You know, blacks shouldn't be living. You know, blacks, you know, we're like animals, you know, to him. But, you know, he's executed now, and, you know, God bless his soul. You know, we're saying, you know, it's a lot of innocent people that's been executed because of bad court-appointed lawyers. But these guys, they did it, they know they did it, and they proud. And Bill King was the ringleader of the situation, and he's waiting on his execution day. They say he get a garbage bag full of mail every week from around the world. You know, you can go on YouTube, Life of a Byrd, Life, L-I-F-E of Byrd, and see the comments, you know, that a lot of the racist people are making. I thank God for the documentary. It's being shown all over the world. I've won numerous awards. I mean, thousands and hundreds of people around the country, you know, calls me about this documentary. Can't believe that this really happened today.
Which awards have you won?
Well, first of all, I won the New York Independent Film Festival Award. It was also featured in AFI Dallas Award, the Texas Black Film Festival Award, Rice University Film Festival Award, Hampton University Award. It was also featured in also USA Today, Time Magazine. And it goes on and on, and also in Japan, Europe, and France. And I've got awards for places that it was so far away that I wasn't able to go. And I thank those countries, you know, for the awards and for showing the film and continuing to understand, you know, that this documentary is about love, it's about peace, and it's about harmony, and it's about, you know, how people can really hate. You know, this is real. You could just be walking home. You know, this is real. James Byrd said one day he was going to put Jasper on the map being a singer, but he never thought he would put it on the map being have to be dragged, you know, down the street to, you know, to put Jasper on the map. Because, you know, he had dreams. He was 49 years old, and, you know, he was a singer. Sometimes we make it, sometimes we don't make it, but never in his dreams.
He performed with New Edition among other people. A singer, dancer.
Well, basically, that's a lot of stuff that I had did. I've worked with New Edition. I've worked with the 4SMDs. I used to be in a dance group, and before I was a dance group, I had 6 cornea transplants. I was blind, and the doctors in Bob Hope Urine School in Port Arthur, Texas, helped me to be able to see. That's part of my bio.
But who all did Mr. Byrd perform with?
Well, Mr. Byrd did a lot of work. He did some work with Ike and Tina Turner. Matter of fact, when he was in L.A., he used to open up for Ike and Tina Turner. He did a lot of stuff. I mean, he's some stuff that he did back in the days, like with some of the Marley people. He did stuff. I mean, he was a real actor. I mean, he could sing and play every instrument. And then in school, he used to help the teachers teach the kids. That's how smart he was. See, James Burry was a genius. A lot of people don't know that. He wasn't just no bum walking the street. This guy was somebody, you know. And then everybody, it's like his teacher said, you know, he made the class laugh. He had a lot of humor in him. You know, he might have made it when he was 50 or 60. You know, he was 49 when he died. You know, he hurt his arm. He was getting disability. But in a town, he still would sing, and he would walk up and down the street and stuff. But that night, you know, he never thought, because nobody never heard of Jasper, Texas, in which I was in Beaumont. That's 45 miles. I've never heard. But he put Jasper on the map, and a lot of people need to know the town is still wicked. They haven't changed. They're living in the 40s and 50s out there. The white mayor owns the radio station. He runs the town. They fired the black sheriff, the black police chief, Rodney Pearson. Jasper, Texas, have lawsuits flying left. It's worse than when James Byrd died in Jasper. His grave site was vandalized.
Now.
It's terribly worse. I mean, the blacks are afraid to open their doors. They're afraid to speak. If you go back out there, because I go out there all the time, you know, I got the death threats and, you know, but some of the people that's in the film, like his teachers, his classmates, and his friends that's in the documentary, it's just no change in Jasper, you know. And they do what they want to do in Jasper. And matter of fact, Sean Berry's brother, he's in the documentary as well, Louis Berry. He's one of the police sheriffs in Jasper. And the truck that giant dragged James Byrd, he has the truck right now. He refurbished it and everything. Sean Berry's riding in that same truck that dragged James Byrd. Now, if that had been a black man, they'd do that to a white man. It'd have been all kinds of hell being raised. But that same truck that dragged Byrd, his brother works for the police department in Jasper. He's riding in the truck right now that dragged Byrd. You know, so there's a lot of issues in Jasper. You know, they want to keep everything low down here in Texas, but the world needs to know that Jasper, Texas is worse. You know, a lot of people tell me they're afraid to even ride through the town. You know, it's still like a ghost town. It's still haunted. And I feel sorry for the black people that's out there that never had a way to get out. And stuff, that's all they know is Jasper. That's all they know is one side. All they know is when you walk in Walmart, don't walk on that lane. That's the white man's lane. You walk on the other side because that's where blacks walk, you know. And yes, sir, master. They still, yes, sir, master. Master in Jasper. You know, we supposed to be over all that. You know, I just wish, like Dick Gregory just went and put a wreath on the grave of James Byrd. I'm looking for President Obama to go there and go put a wreath on Byrd's grave, and President Obama speaks. I know he passed a hate crime bill for James Byrd and Matthew Shepard, but he needs to go to Jasper and see how our people are living and see why they're afraid. Go to James Byrd's grave. See his grave that got a fence wrapped around his grave where they keep damaging his grave and stuff. They're still killing him. You know, and this going on 14, 15 years ago. So I'm just praying, you know, and thanking God for giving me the strength if I leave here today or tomorrow to keep this documentary sourcing around the world where people can understand that this is real. This is a part of our black history. This man died almost worse than Jesus Christ behind a truck, a pickup truck. They want it to go away, but it's not going to go away. As long as I got breath
to breathe. Needs to be kept. His memory needs to be kept alive because there are still lynchings, there are still killings, and if you are black, it is still a crime here.
Right.
Certain parts of the United States of America is wrong, it's unfair, but it's the truth. It's evil, it's sinful, it's all the things God himself is against, but it's also a reality, an evil reality, but it's reality.
And it was one lady that I met in Jasper when I was, you know, creating a documentary, and she said she would want to be on the film, but she said she's afraid. She said, I would love, she said, I know a lot of things about James Byrd, that I could tell you a lot of wonderful things about him when he was a kid, when he was growing up. She said, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid to speak. You know, she said, when you leave from here, I still got to live here. You know, so
yeah.
Dick Gregory spoke to the church when he put the wreath on the grave last year. He tried to energize the people to stand up. You know, y'all not in shackles and chains no more. Stand up. Mr. Dick Gregory told the people, told the sisters were in the church, told everybody, y'all got to stand up and fight. Because if y'all don't stand up, you know, I'm going to be gone tomorrow from here. You know, and I thank Mr. Gregory for coming out, you know, for being a voice, you know, for the civil rights movement. And I thank Dr. King's son. I thank Susan Sarandon for helping me out on this documentary, Sister Helen Prejean. You know, I just thank, you know, a lot of people that gave me motivation, because I thank God I'm still living over my death threats. You know, I'm coming out of the store, my tire's cut. I'm coming out of the store, it's been several cars of mine been messed up, you know, and telling my family to hold tight and listen to other family members saying leave it alone. But if I would have left it alone, nobody would have never known the truth. My documentary speaks the truth, Byrd, the life and tragedy death of James Byrd Jr. It tells about who this man was, what he was. I went into his school. I went into everything. I got his school teachers on there speaking. I even got his kids on there crying. It's a very emotional documentary. I got the KKKs out there, which they didn't want to be in the documentary. I got everything that was out there. The KKKs, Black Panthers, all those people. I was there. I seen it all, I filmed it all, I witnessed it all, and I'm just hoping that, you know, don't have to go through this.
I hate to interrupt you because you're so engrossed in what you're saying, but may I ask, what did Dr. Martin Luther King's son, Martin Luther King III, have to say? What was his words when he was...
Well, Martin King, when he came down, we held a press conference. Martin King came down along with Dick Gregory. And Martin King III went inside, which I coordinated them, Martin, to go inside, Martin III, as well as James Byrd's son, Ross Byrd, to go inside, since the kids said they forgive him for what he's done, and ask what happened. Martin III went inside the prison with Ross Byrd, the son of James Byrd. They stayed 2 hours in there visiting with Sean Byrd. And when they came out, all this in the documentary, Martin III said that it seemed like, he said he had 40 years, he exhausted all his appeals, it seemed like Sean Byrd was telling the truth. Sometimes people can really be that scared. Because Sean Byrd was at work when Bill Kingdom picked him up from work. They had Sean Byrd's truck. When they picked him up for work, he was really ready to go home, but they bought a case of beer and was riding and picked up Byrd. Sean Byrd said he never thought that they were finna plan something evil like that. That's why Sean Byrd don't have the death penalty. He has life, but he still has parole, life with parole. And parole, he'll be paroling out in 40 years. I went and seen him like 3 times. But Martin King III said he seen the truthful, but he still should have done something, you know. And Martin III slept out there outside the death chambers along with me and Dick Gregory and Ross Byrd, and the late Reverend Randall T. Osborne of ACLU. He's passed away now, but he slept out there 24 hours outside the death chambers to say that those men that dragged his father to not execute them because we're playing God now, let them stand there the rest of their life and think about what they did to James Byrd, because killing them, that's not going to solve it. You can't bring them back to life. And there's so many innocent people that's on death row that's being executed. So the James Byrd Jr. kids and the King family are against capital punishment and Dick Gregory.
Because there's so many innocent people being executed. Okay.
So
many
innocent.
I understand.
You got Gary Graham, for instance, in 2000. He was executed, Gary Graham. Matter of fact, I was his right hand. I used to visit him every week on death row. He was executed. I worked with Hurricane Carter, the one Denzel did the movie on. They executed Gary Graham. He had all the evidence to prove that he was innocent, and President Bush was the governor at the time of Texas and said he didn't want a case, want to hit a case, may God bless Gary Graham. So you got a lot of cases, you know, that comes in and out. So we're playing guard. We figure if you can't bring them back to life, why should you take a life? We're playing guard. But the crime of James Byrd was a horrible crime, and myself, I don't know if I could have forgave him. Matter of fact, we were in the studio recording Ross's album. I've managed him on an album, and he was crying, the son of James Byrd, and I asked him what was wrong, and he said, I don't have no bitterness in my heart no more. I said, what you mean? He said, the men that dragged my father, I said, I wanted to kill them. Man, I don't want those men to die because that's going to make me a bad person. When he said that, I immediately called Dick Gregory. I immediately called Martin III, and they immediately flew down here. And matter of fact, we flew to New York, me and Ross Byrd, James Byrd's son. We did 60 Minutes with Dan Rather with his sister. And they got on national television and said they wasn't brought up that way. They was raised by their mother in the church to not hate. But they don't forgive them what they did. They have forgot, but they don't forgive. They forgive, but they haven't forgot what they've done. But they don't want the men to die. So that's the purpose we slept outside the death chambers. And some people don't understand it. Oh, well, if somebody dragged my father like that, oh, man, I want them to hang the same
way. That was probably what they first thought, that they wanted them to die. But after, you know, God has mysterious ways of healing people. That was probably God's way of helping them cope and heal with that horrible, awful, horrific death of their daddy, their father. That was probably God's way of healing them, helping them to cope. Because if you remember the old saying, forgiveness is for the victim. The people who
That's
are wrong,
right.
Forgiveness is for those who are wrong. And Jesus also forgave the people who killed him, who murdered him.
And that's right. Like, it's been many places we toured, you know, speaking out against the death penalty, me and James Byrd.
But
Burr's
a way
son.
That was a healing.
Yeah.
For the children.
Yes, it was a healing. Yes.
A way of healing and coping and staying sane.
That's right.
That was
and
God.
And it's many times I've seen a son just break down, crying. I'd be asking, what's the matter? He said, Ricky, I miss my father.
Yes.
You know, that's a hurting thing to hear him and to go to that grave site with him for Father's Day or for the anniversary, for when they lynched him, and, you know, seeing them look at their grave with a fence around it, you know. And they put a fence down in Jasper because one side they was burying blacks on one side and whites on the other side. But since then, they put a fence down. But the town haven't changed. I thought the death would have brought everybody together because mainstream media thought
that. It only caused more hatred. It only caused more hatred from
the
white,
yes, that they were all loving and everybody sharing one-on-one, and, you know, they made it look like that. But if you there, I was there, and you filming and you talking, you know, to the whites and stuff like that, you know, a lot of them in that diaspora area happy that it happened to him.
Yeah,
you know?
I believe that. I believe that because that's evil. That's the devil.
Black scared to speak up because, like they say, Mr. Jason,
in the film,
you
you're saying that other films that were made sugarcoated everything.
Yeah, sugarcoated. And like the two towns of Jasper with John Voight and John Voight and them, they did that documentary, that film, that movie, as soon as Byrd died. The kids didn't even endorse it. I mean, they were asking Showtime to not show the film. And Showtime did the film, and the kids never got one penny off of it. You know, they gave it to Byrd's sisters and them. Because people thought the kids lived in Jasper. When people were donating and stuff, the Byrd family, to keep you on point, not sugarcoat nothing, the Byrd's three kids on one side and his sisters on another side. The family is not united, not even till today, and not united. Miss Bird, the mother, just died about a year and a half ago. But it's like they separated. But my opinion, I think his kids come first before his sisters, his mother, anybody, because that was his kid. You know, his kids should have reaped the benefit off of things, not the sisters and all that. That's who you see in Washington, D.C. with Barack Obama when he passed the hate crime bill. But
But at least something positive came out. The hate crime bill was passed.
Yes, it was passed. Barack Obama passed the bill.
And what is the hate crime? Do you know what all entitles the hate crime bill?
I know it goes for stuff like, you know, if you're gay or stuff like that, and, you know, he's not going to tolerate it. You know, the hate crime bill is a strong bill. It's a lot of stuff that's outlined. I don't have the paper in front of me and stuff
you
like that. Dragons.
Dragons against blacks and gays. Okay. All right.
Yes. Yeah. So it stands for all that and a lot of more other stuff, you know, which it was passed in Texas. Governor Rick Perry had passed it first because Governor Bush didn't want to pass it because Renee, the daughter, Renee Bird, went to talk to Governor
Bush. So
do you
know, I researched the hate crime bill some, but I didn't get a chance to read all of it, but I will read all of it. If you murder somebody that's gay or black, do you know if that automatically, what does that mean? Does that, is that the death sentence or what?
It depends on the case.
Murder someone, it goes by each case?
Yeah, it goes by each case. It depends on how the case, because you don't know how the case is going, so it depends on each case.
Do you actually have to murder someone? Can it be a beating?
No, it can't be a beating. It has to be a murder. Yeah, it has to be a murder. It just can't be a beating, you know, because we have so many people on death row to be pathetic, you know, so it has to be a murder. And
okay,
so we're happy. Yeah, we're happy that he passed the bill and stuff. I'm just, like I said, you know, as speaking to Ross Bird, the son, he said, you know, we're blessed to have a black president twice. He would like President Obama to go to his father's grave. You know, that's the last words. When I spoke with Ross, he said, you know, and speak to the people in Jasper. I know the president is busy, but, you know, because you never know when this is going to happen. You know, these were kids. Ross was in the military when this happened to his father, fighting for our country. And he said, then they came and knocked at his room and told him, we need to speak to you. Your father is dragged. It's in the papers all over the world. And to see what that done to him, especially his sisters, they're always breaking down, you know, you know, it's amazing. You know, it's there in the documentary and stuff. It's touching. And I'm just happy, you know, to be a part of this history, you know, because God placed us in places where we don't know where we're going to be placed. You know, God is the maker. God is the one that makes the decision to where we're going to be. You know, my dreams are to be a famous singer and that, to not to be an actor as a filmmaker, but he chose me. So I got to speak and work through people like Dick Gregory, Sharpton, Martin King III, and stuff. It's like I'm just a baby under the umbrella. I'm learning more and more and more as I work with Mr. Gregory now. I've been working with Mr. Gregory for 25 years. So
okay.
I'm blessed.
You're blessed, yes. You are very blessed. And I was going to ask you, is this the first documentary that you've made on Mr. James Byrd?
No. Well, I had did another documentary. It's called The Untold Life Story of James Byrd. It's focused more on the accident and what happened, the crime. And when I was speaking to Martin King III and Dick Gregory, they said you need to focus more on his life so people can understand who he was. Because mainstream media put it out there like he was just an alcoholic. You know, he did a little drinking. We don't do a little drinking. He was just an alcoholic walking the street and was picked up and dragged. That's what people in New York and California and Europe and Egypt, when they ain't seen the documentary, tell me. But when they see the documentary and understand that this guy was
a
genius.
Okay, why would
this
they
guy
say
had a family.
If you Okay, I don't understand that. The man has been murdered. He's been dragged. He's been chained. He was chained behind a truck. He's been dragged to death. His body parts have been torn off his body. Why would they scandalize his name after he's dead?
After
he's been murdered. I don't understand that. I understand about racism because I experience it. I go through it. But I don't understand that part. Why lie like that?
Well, we're in the South. When you're in the deep South like this hill, racism is
real.
Yes,
I'm in the South. I'm near the state of Alabama. Understand what extreme racism is.
You go to Jasper. You walk in Walmart. You're not going to see a black man and a white lady hugging hands and walking together in Jasper. You bet not see that.
Okay, I understand all that. I understand that kind of racist climate. I do understand that. My granddaddy got ran out of the state of Alabama by the KKK. That's why we're in Florida. But I still don't understand the mentality of still kicking somebody when they're already dead. I don't understand that. No matter how racist a person is, if the person is murdered and they're gone, that's like the case here, an hour from me in Panama City, Florida. Not in Panama, that's the other Martin. The young man that was murdered down south, they're saying that he shouldn't have on a hoodie. The young man
is dead. That's Trayvon Martin.
He's already dead. So why slander his name and hurt his family even more and hurt the memory of him? I mean, he's already dead. Why say that he shouldn't have on a hoodie and been dressed that way? He shouldn't look like a thug. That's the same thing they're doing to Mr. James Byrd. I don't understand that kind of hatred and that kind of lying when somebody has already been murdered or dead.
It's the hate. The hate is real. You know, the hate
is real.
I know
the hate. I still don't understand that. The satisfaction should be in that they got the killing. I mean, I don't think that way, but I feel like if they've already killed him, so why continue to lie? That makes not.
Yeah, that makes it real. It's real bad. I mean, that's real bad. And what we're trying to do is put the truth out on Mr. Byrd so people can understand who he was and understand that he had family, he had friends, he had kids, and he got grandkids. He had a mother and he had a father. You know, James Byrd, he was loved, and you know, you never know when it's going to happen. But this happened and Jasper still haven't changed. Anything can happen in Jasper, Texas. That's the word around the world. If you go in Jasper, you better thank God you come out, you leave them out of their safe. You know, and we got kids being still raised up today in schools in Jasper and stuff, trained to hate. Because when they go to school in Jasper, even in the school, the white kids on one side, the black kids on the other side. You know, you look at the town they live in, like in the 50s, the 50s and the 40s and the 60s. You know, it needs to stop, you know, and I'm hoping the people in Jasper can stand up. I've been praying for this for a long time. Stand up, and they want to sweep it under the rug. It's not going to get swept under the rug because we all bleed the same blood.
That kind of hatred is sick and evil.
You know. And
it goes against the Bible. It goes against everything God wants human beings. It goes against God. But I understand racism, you know, but it just made no sense to me to slander somebody's name when they're already gone. What is the old
That's
saying?
Fine.
They did it to Jesus Christ. So what can you expect?
Yeah, they did it to Jesus Christ. They'll do it to any of us. And, you know, like, I'm glad I'm on this show, and Ms. Butler, and I appreciate it. And like I said, once again, it's 2012, Jasper, Texas is worse than what it was when James Byrd was dragged.
Okay.
It's so sad.
It's horrible. where can people go to buy your DVD if they want to purchase the DVD and see what really happened? And for those of them who are really interested and want to see what really happened and see Miss Maxine Waters and the different people and Martin Luther King, Martin Luther III, and just see the reality of what really happened and feel like they were there so they can understand, have a more understanding of what danger really is and what evil really is. So people won't be as naive in this day and age, because I'm sure Mr. James Byrd read his Bible too and went to church.
Yes.
Like everybody else probably does. So I have a question. Before I ask you where they can go, before you answer where people can go to buy your DVD and to help support, you know, keeping his name alive and letting people know what's going on, what's really going on here in the United States of America, in the South, and possibly everywhere else. I just want to know, why did you do the film? Why did you do the second one?
Well, I did it because I feel like I was chosen and looked like nobody else didn't want to do it. I had 13 people that wanted to edit it, and at our tried to get the edit, they said they couldn't edit it because they couldn't stand looking at the stuff on the film.
Okay, I have one more question.
Yes.
Sorry to cut you off. Do you think Black Americans, African Americans are naive in this day and time? Understand that there's a God that protects us all. And all. Do you feel that Black America is naive?
Well, I feel, you know, not just blacks, you know, it's white. It depends on you. I mean, if you're a person and you was raised up in your house to love whites, blacks,
I'm just saying, let me rephrase the question. Do you feel that black people should be taking more precaution?
I think they should. Yeah, I think they should. You know, because of who we are, we get blamed for everything, you know, so black people should be careful. You should be careful you get in the car with. Somebody can pick you up, anything can happen to you. You should be careful when you ride. You got to be careful at home. When you're black, you just have to be careful.
So it's not paranoia. It's being careful.
Yes.
Be more careful. Go ahead and pray. Go to church and take your Bible. Be careful. That's what you're saying? Just be careful.
Just be careful.
Have your eyes open. Because even though we have a black president, I'm saying this, things have not changed so much as many people would like to believe. It has not changed as much as many people would like to believe it has. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. Like in Jasper, it's still worse. And back to the documentary, I mean, it's for the fact, if you want to sit with your family and learn some black history and read some black history. As a matter of fact, Maurice Starr, he's the guy that discovered New Edition and New Kids on the Block. Maurice Starr gives the documentary 5 stars. And the documentary, I mean, you can learn from, it's a part of our black history. It's called Byrd, B-Y-R-D, The Life and Tragic Death of James Byrd, B-Y-R-D Jr., on Amazon.com as well as CreateSpace.com. It's there for purchase, it's there for renting. If you just want to look at it now, you can rent it on Amazon.com, or you can purchase it to the world. It's all over the world. So, I mean, this documentary is a learning tool. It's good for our schools. Matter of fact, it's fixing to be in schools in New York City, as well as working on Texas and our universities and colleges and stuff, so people can understand. You know, when you see James Byrd's face or his image, you're going to know that he was somebody, and he had dreams just like everybody else.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Elijah Ricky Jason. I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
And Ms. Angela Butler, I really appreciate being on your show. You're such a great host, and I thank God for touching you through me, through all the other people that interviewed me. This has been a pleasure, you know, to speak with you, and I'm hoping that we can work on other projects as well and stuff, because I see you on top of your business with your show, and you're on time with things. So I'm blessed, and, you know, just continue to keep doing what you do to keep the voice out there, because you are our voice. You know, because we got people that's probably listening right now, you know, and didn't know some of these things. So I say the thanks to Dick Gregory, Martin King III, you know, thanks to people like you, Ms. Butler, my good associates, Force MD, Stevie D, Susan Sarandon, Sister Helen Prejean, Desmond Tutu, which I worked with him, Ruben Hurricane Carter. I thank so many people, Mickey Dickoff, Larry Walker, just so many people that's been pushing me and guiding me and telling me, keep your head up. Don't be afraid of nobody but God. Thank you.
That's right. And I thank you, and I look forward to working with you on hopefully some documentaries one day.
Sounds fine to me, ma'am.
And I will be in touch with you, and I thank you again for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank
God
you.
Bless you too, sir. And bye. May God protect you. Bye.
Yes.
All right, listeners, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest is Mr. Elijah Ricky Jason. He is the executive producer and director of the James Byrd film, The Life and Times of James Byrd, entitled BYRD. Listeners, I know BET doesn't need any advertisement, but for those of you who are watching BET, we see Roots is on. Mr. James Byrd was murdered, okay? I guess you've all gathered that. I encourage my listeners to go out and purchase the film, because it's tragic, it's wrong, it's sad, and we really need to support each other. So thank you, listeners, for listening to the show, and thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. And have a blessed day and night.